You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon. If common sense were a cat, they would be buried in sand. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning and welcome to today's edition of the NativeTalk.net radio program. Today's edition is actually only semi-live because Brandon could not be a part of the program today. So we've got clips from our old podcast. You've never heard them before, but believe me, they are quite interesting. We've got terrible travel stories as well as a health pile with some Alzheimer's news. I'm also going to get to some Plains Indian stuff about horses, so that's going to be interesting today. So you're definitely going to want to join us for that. Email, if you want to be a part of the show, podcast@nativetalk.net. We actually got a good response for our last week's show about Nancy, who hates us now, and she wrote a big letter. We talked about that, and we did get some email responses in, so I wanted to thank you guys for that. And not to worry, we will absolutely be getting to your emails and responses. You can also give us a call and leave a voice message to be played on the show. That phone number, 970-278-5791. All right, let's get to horses first, because horses are an iconic vision of Plains Indians. Like, when you think Plains Indians, so many of us have this vision of the horse. And that is true, but only in the later times, more recent times. Because Plains Indians, most of them, were not farmers at all. They were hunters and gatherers. This is just what they did. Women took care of children. They made clothes, gathered wild wild vegetables. But they didn't actually stay in one spot, build like a community that remained in one place and farmed or anything like that. So most of the year, the men wandered the prairies in search of food. They traveled great distances, and they hunted on foot, because horses were not even in the North American region, so they didn't have that option. Now, whenever they killed game, wherever they were, they would cook it and dry it in that place, and then carry home as much as they could on foot, dragging that food behind them, piled on a buffalo skin. So when the horses arrived in the North American continent, it changed their life considerably. The Spanish are the ones who brought horses with them, because they're not native, as I mentioned, to the United States at all. Now, when the Spanish came here, some of those horses just escaped. You know, it wasn't something that they could keep a handle on. Sometimes horses do that. They'll jump a fence. And some found their way onto the Great Plains. So when the Plains people first saw horses, they called them mystery dogs. I mean, think about it. If you saw a horse for the first time and you've lived an entire history without ever seeing them, what would you think when you first saw them? But the natives of the Plains during those times were smart and adventurous. It didn't take them long to realize that if they could catch a horse, they could ride it. Now, this likely started as a game, but it soon became a way of life. You know, nobody told them to do this. They just figured it out on their own. On a horse, the Plains people could travel many, many miles in just one day on a horseback. They could hunt more effectively. They could haul skins and food home more easily and in larger quantities than they could before, because the horses obviously could drag larger loads. Now, all of a sudden, the family had enough skins to make bigger teepees. They moved out of their earth homes made of mud and into these big, huge teepees made of wood poles covered in buffalo skins. They were able to load their families, their goods, themselves onto horseback, and they could follow the buffalo much, much more easier. So the advent of the horse, made a big, big difference in their lives. Now, I thought that was quite interesting because, you know, like most people, I didn't realize that my image of Plains Indians was such a modern image. So there you go. And now let us get to the rest of the show, beginning with terrible travel stories. Have you ever had a really, really bad experience traveling by air? That is the topic of today's discussion.
If a vegan does CrossFit, which do they talk about first?
Alex didn't get that joke, but I did. I have never heard that one.
Moving on.
How many times have you flown?
I tried really hard as a kid, but my arms always got tired. I could never really pull it
Come
off.
Come on!
No, maybe three. I think maybe four. Four times.
Okay, where did you go?
So I've gone to West Virginia. I've been up to... I did take a plane up to Oregon. And then from Salt Lake City to Sacramento a couple times.
Oh, you flew that?
There was times I wanted to visit without driving because the drive was so long.
It wasn't that long.
But I had a lot of money and I was a, you know, young, dumb kid.
Well, we've flown quite a bit. I mean, I flew to Russia and back a couple of times. I went to Kazakhstan. I flew to, what?
I said, that sounds boring. Isn't that a forever long flight?
It really was.
It is really long.
It was really long. And I've flown to Tunisia. So what would you say, Brandon, is your worst thing about airline travel?
Layover.
Really?
Layover's the worst. Well, remember I said I flew Salt Lake City to Sacramento. And as, you know, anyone who's listened to this show knows, Sacramento is an awful place. And there are no direct flights to there from anywhere, you know, that matters. So, yeah, there's like a 4-hour layover in Vegas trying to get from – it's like if they flew straight through, it'd be an hour and a half. But it's like we're going to go fly an hour down here, sit there for 4 hours, then fly an hour up here. You know, it's – layovers suck.
What about you, Alex?
Sitting for 9 hours. I mean, come on. Everything hurts.
Well,
uncomfortable.
There was a recent rudeness poll conducted by Travelocity, and American travelers were surveyed as to their most hated things, and this is what they had to say. Having a bad seatmate is terrible, and the worst seatmate is somebody who has really bad hygiene.
Oh, stop. See, we didn't have alone. That experience. I'm sitting
oh,
with
I
you.
Have. I have. I was sitting there, and lumbering down the hallway is the biggest woman I've ever seen. Like one of these huge
so poorly
people.
Of Alex. It's rude. She's right next to you, man.
Okay.
Out of your mouth like this if she can't hear you.
Brandon, I didn't want to tell you, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, or somebody who's coughing or sneezing. But no, this lady goes lumbering down, and I'm like, please no. Please no. Please no. Sure enough, she sits. And I always sit by the window. I love looking out the window when I fly. I don't know why. I like staring out there.
You're not supposed to be up that high, so it's amazing to look out and see it.
Yeah. Well, she sat right in the middle. Right in the middle.
She's got a little Kleenex hanging out of her purse.
And this was a cross-country flight, by the way. This was
of course
from,
it was.
Yeah, this was from Salt Lake City to, like, New York. Oh, it was bad. So I have experience with that.
No, I just say, you know, get some friends and stop traveling alone. Just work harder and you won't have to sit by, you won't have to sit next to Snotty Bertha.
Yeah, I should just buy both seats. Then nobody
That's
can
right.
sit next to me. The most irritating onboard behavior is the passenger who kicks our seat from behind.
Do they ask those questions who fly first class?
No, that doesn't happen in first
Nothing
class.
Nothing bothers them.
Yeah, first class passengers are like, why?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? This is awesome. What's the most bothersome fellow traveler to encounter? So when you meet another traveler, who's the worst?
I guess the guy who doesn't mind his own business, the dude who's always tapping you and trying to tell you a story kind of thing.
Well, about a third say arguing families during a vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Loud
big drunk guy.
Yeah. Loud kids or rowdy college students.
I felt really bad on my cross country flight. My youngest son was almost 2 years old at the time. And he, you know, it's a long flight and he's a young kid. And I did everything I could to keep him quiet. But there was a span there for about 40 minutes where I had a fussy baby. I felt awful. You know, so there's nothing I can do to help calm him down. And all the other passengers had to listen to my kid cry, you know.
Yeah. That, and it does make people feel bad when they see crying kids.
I don't feel annoyed, but I just feel bad.
Yeah. When we came from Russia, Jason was about 2 years old. And
he was perfect, but.
Well, not perfect. Girl, yeah.
He was. He never cried anything.
No, that's because I kept picking. I had to take him and we walked up and down the hallways for hours.
That's what you have to do. I think you really have to let parents.
But there was a little girl who would cry nonstop.
Oh, yeah. She kept going and going.
They should have parachutes set aside for situations just like
that. Okay, I'm done.
So more than half of respondents believe, speaking about that topic, they think that parents should remove a misbehaving child from the public setting, and a third feel that children should be reprimanded. I agree with that. I think when my son is misbehaving, I grab him, we walk out, and I do punish him. I tell him, you know, you cannot act like this. And it drives me, as a parent who does that, it drives me nuts when I see parents who don't do that. They just let their kid go and go and go and annoy everyone.
But what can you reasonably do in a plane nowadays when you have people ready to call CPS at the drop of a hat? What can you do to discipline your child in an airplane?
Verbally reprimand them. I think that we should be able to give kids whoopings in public. I mean, not beat them. Nah. Come on. But you should be able to give a little, like a little swat. You know what I mean?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think you just, you tell them, you know, when we go home, then. you don't do it in public. Oh, you can just talk to him. You should be quiet because.
I remember that phrase. Just wait until we get home.
Yeah. Yeah. this is the right thing.
Travelers who, and this isn't all just about airplanes, this is about travel in general. Families who have children have different complaints. They're more likely to be bothered by topless sunbathers.
Oh, no, that's fine. Hey, kids, look at that bird in the tree. No, keep looking.
Men in Speedos, which drove me up a wall anywhere in Europe.
Oh, my gosh.
Men wear these, like, it looks like these super tight underwear.
Oh, yeah, the banana hammocks.
Yes. So and I'm like, what?
Bad.
Why? And not good looking men. You know, like, you're thinking about, like, at least. If you have like a built ripped dude, no.
Still, it's a turn off.
I know, but at least if he's in good shape, like maybe, I still don't like it. But at least you can like go, all right, fine. You're wrong for doing it, but you're showing off.
It's like you're expecting Arnold Schwarzenegger from The Terminator, but instead you get Arnold Schwarzenegger from Now.
Yeah, old dudes, fat dudes. Guys who are like, you know, doing the little surfboarding and they spread their legs out.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Get that sunscreen. Curly's peeking out.
What? Oh.
You're listening to nativetalk.net. We listen to the other guys. That's why we don't imitate them. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced. Whoa,
wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Oh, okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or Hardcore.
This is Edward James Olmos. Did you know that today one out of every four American kids is Hispanic? That means many of the future doctors, engineers, and entrepreneurs of our country can be your kids. We all know how hard it is for you to send them to college. This is why many support you. And the Hispanic Scholarship Fund helps you prepare, plan, and pay for your kids' college education. Learn more at hsf.net. Brought to you by the Hispanic Scholarship Fund and the Ad Council.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Our conversations are never tested on animals. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the program. The message line, as always, 970-278-5791. And make sure you visit us at nativetalk.net to download and listen to any of our past shows, which are always entertaining. Hopefully you enjoyed that little bit about terrible travel stories. I certainly enjoyed listening to it myself. So you can also visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/nativetalkradio. Next up, we have a health pile, including some Alzheimer's news. So hopefully you find that enjoyable. I think I will. Let's have a listen. Now, I know people listening can't see us on video, but why are you sitting in the dark?
Oh, well, see, when we started this podcast, it wasn't dark.
Okay, right now, it's been getting progressively worse and worse.
Right, that's how the sun works.
Yeah, what are you doing, Brandon?
Yeah, I see a very happy smile on your face. Oh. Don't even
drinking
tell me
chocolate.
What you're doing. Yeah, drinking
Let's
chocolate.
Just say, I'm very happy sitting here in the dark with my nice smile. There, is that better?
Much.
Okay, that's creepy.
Let's do a health pile.
Captain, stay well. We have a problem.
Every time I cough or sneeze, there are germs that come out of me. There is something I've found, so I don't spread germs all around. Germ attack. I must fight back.
All right, it's time for the health pile here on the English Express. Do you want Alzheimer's, Brandon?
What?
Alzheimer's.
Can you tell me what Alzheimer's is?
Alzheimer's is where you forget things.
Well, I think I might already have a case of that. I have short-term memory loss from time to time.
Yeah, you know, I thought I had that, but I forgot about it.
I forgot about what?
About, I don't know. I don't know. What were we talking about again? Anyway, let's move on to the next story.
Whatever.
Alzheimer's.
What about it?
Sleeping on your side, as opposed to your back or tummy, appears to more effectively remove brain waste and could reduce your chances of developing Alzheimer's. See.
Hold on. Wait. Can you remind me? What is Alzheimer's again?
That's the disease where you forget about stuff.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay. I remember. Got you.
Okay. All right. So while we're sleeping, our brains are basically in cleanup mode. All right. So they're like cleaning up all the trash, the gunk and the junk that accumulates all the time that we're awake. Okay. And so when you sleep on your side, it helps your brain just like get it all out of there. Okay. So if you want to reduce the... Yeah. Falls out of your ear. Exactly. So if you want to reduce your risk of Alzheimer's, just sleep on your side. Just a little public service announcement for
I sleep on my tummy.
I like the tummy and my side.
I don't know how you guys sleep on your tummy. I would suffocate and die.
Well, I turn my head. How do you sleep, Brandon?
I sweat at night, so I would like I would literally drown if I slept with my head facing down.
Okay. So how do you sleep and don't say naked?
No, I actually, that's a big point of contention in my relationship. Just to air out our dirty laundry, I don't like to sleep naked, and I'm
Me
often
neither.
Encouraged to.
You know what? I like wearing just my undergarments.
I like gym shorts and a t-shirt. That's what I feel
really,
most comfortable.
I don't like the t-shirt. I like to just have my nether regions covered. That's enough for me.
Is that why they call it the Netherlands?
I think so. Yeah, because there are a bunch of asses down there.
Oh, wow. That escalated quickly.
All right, next story. Most people have the most positive thinking between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. They did a study of 2.5 million Twitter users, and they found that between 6
a.m. There's lots of positive thinking on Twitter.
Well, they found that between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., people were more likely to use positive words like awesome, super, and
you're such a super awesome bitch.
And I agree. And the worst time is between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m.
Yeah, when everyone's getting ready to get off work, they're all irritated and edgy.
Yeah, and then they use bad words. So, yeah. So positive thinking early in the morning.
That's weird because when I was a teenager, you know, waking up early, I would never say, awesome, good morning. Come on. I wanted to sleep.
Yeah, well, you were one of the people who woke up later and were grumpy and using less positive language. You know what that is? That's the people who wake up early who are like all peppy. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
And you're like, shut up.
What? It's
7 o'clock in the morning. You need to leave.
Next story. New study comes out and says that sleeping on your side, as opposed to your back or tummy, appears to more effectively remove brain waste and help reduce your chances.
Are you kidding me? You
of developing also, what? Excuse me?
Come
Wait,
on.
Hold on, you guys. Can you remind me what's Alzheimer's again?
Alzheimer's is a disease. It's a disease where you forget things.
Oh, I remember. Okay.
Okay. So if you want to reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, you want to sleep on your side. It helps your brain clean out all the gunk and the junk. And
what does it do? Just fall right out of your ear?
Should I tell everybody I like sleeping on my tummy?
Really? You know, I like sleeping on my side or my tummy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Brendan, what about you?
I can't even.
Next story. A lot of people dread turning 50. You know, during 50 is like at the beginning of really being old. You know, you're half a century. But they say it appears to be one of the most perfect ages. And because when they asked a group of people, it was the number one age where they said that they would like to stop time and live there forever. Now, in the last show, we talked about how 34 was the best age to live in because you were really starting to, like, become happy. But they say...
For a second there, I thought we were doing the Alzheimer's bit again.
No. This one is, like, where you want to stop time. Because when you're 34, things are starting to go good, and you're, like, starting to feel really happy. But 50 is, like, where you go, let's stop time. This is where I want to stay.
Yeah, I can see that because it's like you've built your capital, you have your entire plan is, you know, reaching a pinnacle, and you don't quite have the old age yet, yeah. So you're still generally healthy.
Yeah, and this is where they earn their highest paychecks in their entire careers because it's just downhill after that. So in your 50s, you're doing pretty much amazingly.
Yeah, I'll be starting my 5th or 6th year of retirement about that time in my life. Again.
And your children are gone, and so you've got freedom to do just about everything. Cool. Now, Brandon, are you an organ donor?
No.
Why not?
Because I live in California, so why would I donate to that state?
What? Hold on. No, seriously, are you an organ donor?
I'm not an organ donor.
What's the real reason?
Well, I don't really know if I have it's more of a selfish reason, I guess you would say. It's just something about having my dead or dying body disassembled to be transported off to put into somebody else. I don't know. I just don't want to be used for spare parts.
You are in 25% of the population, or the people who don't donate. They say that they're uncomfortable with their organs being used after death. They don't like the idea of it.
I mean, to me, And I'm sorry if this offends everybody. I just want to preface it by saying I really understand why you would want to donate your organs and help save lives. It's like, I'm going to die anyway. Why wouldn't I use my organs to help save a life? I get that. But for me personally, it's like, it's kind of the same as if you wanted to grind my body up into hamburger. That's the same amount of desecration to me as Brandon, if you were
burger.
Remove bits and pieces, you know, intact. It just seems disrespectful to my dead body. But here's the weird part. I'd be totally okay with letting my body be completely burned up.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm a complete contradiction.
And what about you, Alex?
Well, I am a donator.
And why did you decide to become an organ donor?
I don't know. Just it makes me feel good to know that I can help somebody. I don't need any of that when I'm dead.
And she's with 70% of the organ donor population who say that it actually comforts them to know that their organs are going to serve a purpose after they die and that they wanted to help somebody in need. It makes them feel good to know mm-hmm. that that's going to happen. For the same reason that Brandon said, he's uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, and I really, really get that. A point of view, and I understand where you know that sentiment comes from, and it's like, you know, ultimately that's really the better way to do things if you're trying to help out other people, you know.
Yeah, and I don't even know why I'm not an organ donor. I kind of had this feeling like, you know, like imagining like pieces of me and other people, I'm like, ugh, you know, I don't know, I just oh, it come on. Creeps me out. I'm like, you know,
have you heard about
picture a little boy, he needs a heart.
Now, see, when you start putting people in front of me, I change my mind. Okay?
And you know, everybody's crying. You're like, nope, I feel uncomfortable.
La, 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 la. I'm not listening.
That would be me, dude. That, you bring me in like this 6-year-old cancer survivor. You know, he's struggling for his life. He's, you know, hooked up to IVs. I'm just like, nope. Tell your sob story down the hall, buddy.
Some of the other reasons, 25% of people say they're not healthy enough. These are the drinkers and the smokers, and they're like, you don't want my organs, I promise.
Believe me.
And they don't want the, you know, like when you go, imagine this. If you're a drinker, a drug user, a smoker, or whatever, and you say like, you know, oh yeah, I'll be an organ donor. And then the doctors say, no. I mean, that's embarrassing. Yeah. You know, he's willing to save a life, but no, thank you.
You donate your body to science and science sends it back.
And another quarter say they just don't even like thinking about what happens after they die.
Now, see, that's messed up because you're relying on everybody else in your life to think about what happens to you after you die. Because whether you like it or not, you're leaving behind a body for someone else to deal with. You should at least say what should be done with that body.
Even I said.
Well, you do have a say. You can put it in your will and say, I don't care what my family says. I do not want my organs to be donated. If you have no preference, like I have no preference. I'm not explicitly an organ donor. But after I die, unless I've written a will, my wife or my family or whoever can say, I want him to be an organ
donor. Okay, that's a sad topic. Let's stop.
I'm just saying you can choose. All right. All right, next story. If you want to prevent Alzheimer's, sleeping on your side can actually reduce the risk of that.
Stop.
There's a brand new survey out that says sleeping on your side as opposed to your back or tummy more effectively removes What?
You read it like 2 times.
Read what? What are you talking about?
How old are you?
I don't remember. What are we doing here?
You know, I heard if you sleep on your side, it helps with that.
Yeah, just sleep on
your
side.
I don't remember where I heard it, though. Must be something I read.
Could have been. All right. Now, this one is interesting. You have a little girl. She's five years old. No, look, pretend
I'm not
your
as fortunate
kid.
As you.
Okay, you've got a 5-year-old boy, all right, and out of nowhere,
actually, three.
Out of nowhere, you start to get this thick, green, stinky snot. I mean, it's terrible. So you take him to the doctor. Doctors
Wait,
have no idea.
Take him to the doctor if I had the snot.
No, the kid has the snot. It's thick, green, and stinky. Okay, thick, green, and stinky. And the doctors, you go to them, and they have no idea. So they start giving her antibiotics.
Wait, never worked. Why didn't you grab a bulb syringe and suck it out?
They do. Doesn't help. Keeps coming back. So they figure it's like some kind of...
Dude, just like any good Vegas girl, you just keep sucking.
Well, they did. It didn't work. They tried several rounds of antibiotics. Never worked. Finally, she started blowing her nose, sucking stuff out, and out came a 1.5-inch safety pin. That had been wedged up her left nostril.
Oh, how the hell do you get that up there and not know?
She was five. Are you kidding me? The kid doesn't remember what they ate for breakfast.
How old's your son?
Almost five.
And now you telling me if he stuck a safety pin up his nose, you wouldn't hear about it?
I don't know. Well, this girl didn't say. It was black and disintegrating.
Ew, dude.
They were horrified. Yeah, it was there for a long time. And then when they asked her, she goes, oh, yeah, I totally remember doing that. I just forgot to tell anyone. Well, now she's healing like a champ. And reporters now say that she's gotten the mother tells reporters she's gotten hate mail about her parenting skills.
Oh, come on. Oh,
I'm sure.
So I need to do a public service announcement. Okay. This is a very important public service. So I want you all to listen to this very closely as we close.
If you say Alzheimer's, I quit the show.
No. This is a public service announcement for all of you out there. Very important to listen closely.
Hi, I'm Spiky McMarbles, and this is my nose. And when I'm feeling lucky, I use it like a hose.
Spiky, that's not right. Don't stick marbles where there is no light.
Spiky, I'm Dr. Teachum. I'm going to have to operate to get the marbles out of your nose.
Dr. Teachum, is Spiky stupid because he puts marbles up his nose?
Yes. No. He just hasn't learned not to do it, but he might be a little stupid too.
Spiky, why do you put marbles in your nose?
Because I can't hold them between my toes.
Spiky, you should keep marbles in this pouch.
I'll stuff that bag right in my mouth! Ow! Ow!
Hey, kids, take it from me, Spiky McMarbles. Don't stick marbles in your nose. Bye for now.
Bye, kids.
Bye.
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 Bye. Man, this has got to be the worst movie we've ever...
Don't put marbles in your nose. Put them in there. Do not put them in there. Don't put marbles in your nose. Put them in there. Do not put them in there. Don't put marbles in your nose. Put them in there. Do not put them in there.
Okay, so tell me, at what point did you get the urge to stick marbles into your nose?
When Spiky told me not to.
Tell me you know where that's from.
That makes me want to go watch some home movies.
I love that show.
You know, I've only seen like half of one season. That makes me want to keep watching.
Oh, dude, you got to keep watching that show. That is, I love that program.
There's just so much good TV out right now. It's hard to go back into the archives.
But when I read that news story, I'm like, yes, I have to go get the marbles. All right, guys. Well, that'll. Do you have anything else, Brandon?
My kids would be quiet. They're just screaming in the background. I'm gonna have to go punish them.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be happening. So, all right. Well, we don't have any exit music for today because that was the public service announcement plays us out. So we will be back next week with another edition of the English Express Radio Podcast. Make sure that you check us out online. Go to the iTunes store, search the English Express Radio Podcast. Click on us, subscribe, and
make sure you sleep on your side.
Make sure you sleep on your side. All right. So, dude, we got some listener mails. I'll have to read that next week. So. I forgot this week.
Really? You forgot?
That before the closing.
You know what? I'll see you guys next week.
Welcome back to the English Express Radio Podcast. You can reach the show anytime by emailing us.
Wait a second. That was you. Hold on. I've got an actual.
You thought that was.
I thought that was the real one. All right. You know what? I have it turned up. Seriously, I'll see you guys next week.
Now back to some more wholesome, good-natured family entertainment. Oops, wrong show. You're listening to nativetalk.net. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.